From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. What is the state of our state here in New Hampshire? It's a question that Governor Chris Sununu will address as he gives his first State of the State speech today. But before the governor takes the podium, we get a local take on this as we ask several New Hampshire mayors about the state of their cities and what they'd like to hear from the governor. And let's hear from you too. How would you describe the state of your own community? How upbeat are you feeling about your own city or town? Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange or call in 1-800-892-6477. Now, the mayors will hear from represent Manchester, Dover, Franklin, and Berlin, and we'll go to them at different points in the hour. Helping us tie it all together, though, is Jeff Feingold, editor of the New Hampshire Business Review. And Jeff, you're always helping us out. Thank you very much.
It's great to be here, Laura.
Well, there's so many ways, Jeff, we could measure the state of our state economically, demographically, the health of our people, the health of our environment, how happy people are or not to be here. What do you think are some useful measures, Jeff, to measure the state of the state?
Well, a lot of people like to look at it like from our, in terms of our economy, and you know, pretty much economically, we're doing fine. We're doing much better than almost most states in the country in terms of just how unemployment and just basically the economic vitality of the state. But in other ways, you know, you have to look at the various factors. Like, you can't ignore the opioid crisis, which is really been at this point, you can describe it as debilitating, the addiction crisis in this state. It continues. It just doesn't seem to be alleviated, and we are still like on a treadmill in terms of this crisis. There are other factors in basically that we need to know. We know we need to address to make things, you know, to keep things going, and that certainly involves issues like our healthcare system. Healthcare costs are among the highest in the country. It's a really serious issue for not just for individuals, but for businesses as well, and for the state, as we know from this discussion on expanding Medicaid, how expensive it is. Energy is another one that really came to the fore with the rejection of Northern Pass. It's a discussion that we have kind of put off. We just keep kicking it down the road, and it's just nothing. It needs to be addressed. Another thing that we need to think about is in terms of the economy is workforce development, which is closely related to education. And, you know, that is still something that, you know, certainly businesses of the state are facing pretty much every day. And you know, other things such as our infrastructure, which is something that is happening. The president the other day unveiled his big plan for infrastructure, and I'm not quite sure that that's a New Hampshire-friendly plan because it's going to involve New Hampshire and localities having to cough up some money, not just some, but a lot of it, and trying to find certain, you know, public, private partners to help fund these things when we desperately need to have our roads and bridges addressed because we've got, you know, serious issues with that.
So lots to think about when we talk about the state of our state and the state of our cities. Energy, healthcare, infrastructure, education, certainly the opioid crisis. And we've been asking our listeners, Jeff, to let us know how they're feeling about their cities and towns. The State of the State is coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll be covering that. But right now on The Exchange, we're asking you, how's the state of your community? Again, let us know. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And throughout the hour, in addition to talking to Jeff Feingold and taking your questions and comments, we'll be speaking with four New Hampshire mayors. And we're going to kick that off right now with Joyce Craig. She is the new mayor of Manchester. She's a former alderman there. And Mayor Craig, great to have you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, by the way, the Queen City, the state's largest city because it's not the capital, a population of 110,000 people. So by far, Mayor Craig, the biggest city in the state, representing about a tenth of the population. How would you describe the state of your city, Mayor Craig?
We are doing well. We're seeing great progress from an economic development perspective. We're making inroads on education. And our efforts through our public safety officials in fighting crime and the opioid epidemic.
If you were to entice somebody to move to Manchester from another state, Mayor Craig, what would you say?
That there's great opportunity in our community. We have a community that is engaged and wanting to do better, and great job opportunities and wonderful education. And again, we're a community that's coming back and are very welcoming to all.
Coming back, what does that mean?
Well, I think that if you think about, you know, where Manchester has been and where we are today, we're seeing great progress. We have Army in our mill yard. Our mill yard is booming. Again, we're making progress from an educational perspective. So we're seeing a renaissance in what's going on in our community. We have residents who are really pushing public art, and so things are coming and moving forward.
Army, again, is the Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute, Mayor Craig, in the mill yard. That's Dean Kamen's big project to create a place where tissues and organs can be created to help wounded veterans and so forth. Is that correct?
Correct.
Someone wanting to move to Manchester is probably going to ask you about the schools, Mayor Craig. What would you say if that person raised the issue of the schools coming under criticism for overwhelmed classrooms, for an outdated tracking system, and other problems that the schools have had?
Yeah, I mean, we do have our challenges, but there are great opportunities as well. I'm a proud graduate of Manchester Public Schools. I have two children who have graduated, and I have a daughter who's still there. We have hardworking teachers and great course offerings, and again, a community who is very, very interested in making sure we're doing the best that we can. For example, just this week, I attended an event at Southside Middle School where we had Southern New Hampshire University and the Celtics partner together to put forward the fourth technology lab in our middle school. So our community is really involved in making sure that all of our students are doing the best that they can. So, you know, the focus is there, and we know that we must have great, strong schools in order to have a thriving and growing economy.
Well, speaking of schools, Mayor Craig, lots of attention and sadness this morning about gun violence with another set of grieving families after another school shooting, this time in Florida. How do you, as a mayor, react to this? You know, beyond the usual thoughts and prayers that people always say, but in terms of thinking about your own city schools and their safety?
Yeah, I mean, it is heartbreaking to see that happen, and it provides an opportunity for us to look at our policies and make sure that what we have in place ensures the safety of everyone who are in our schools.
Such as ensures the safety. Sounds good, but, you know, families are devastated.
They are. And, you know, I mean, number one priority in our city is safety when it comes to the safety of people on the streets, in our neighborhoods, in our schools. So, again, it's, you know, working with the superintendent, working with the police chief, and making sure that everything that goes on is ensuring the safety of our students.
I wanted to ask you one more question about Army, which you mentioned earlier. I know there's a lot of excitement in Manchester about that. Again, that's the Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute in the mill yard. How well prepared do you think Manchester is for the influx of people that might come to work at Army, the schools, the downtown, the housing? I mean, if this boom that is hoped for happens, are you guys ready in Manchester?
Oh, we absolutely are, and we welcome it, and we're doing everything we can to encourage it. You know, I think SB 564 is a very important bill in Concord that I support that would provide tax incentive and workforce development for regenerative manufacturers. This is something that our community needs and wants, and we do have housing available, and our school systems can accommodate it.
So you're ready for the influx. How much are you expecting in terms of a population growth from this Army once it's up and running?
You know, it's really hard to tell. I don't know. We are seeing small companies come in that are working with Dean Kamen and Army. So we haven't seen a significant growth at this point. But, you know, we are ready and we are welcoming it.
You mentioned earlier, Mayor Craig, the opioid crisis, and Manchester, as the state's largest city, really has had to grapple with this. What's the approach that you're taking, Mayor Craig, and how will you know when it's making a difference?
Well, I mean, we had the unfortunate situation with Serenity Place about a month ago, and so we have really looked at the process with Safe Station in Manchester and identified opportunities, gaps, and things that we can do differently. And so we've put forward a process where not all of the people who are looking for treatment are going to one place, because obviously Serenity Place was in financial crisis, but also overwhelmed with all of the people going there. So we've made inroads in terms of bringing all of the different entities to the table and working collaboratively together, and working with the hospitals and so forth. So I think that's been a good thing. You know, through this process, we've identified issues, though. So, for example, 65% of the people that are coming into Safe Station are from out of Manchester, and some are from out of the state.
65% are not from Manchester.
Correct. And they're looking for help. And when we sort of have been digging, you know, we've identified entities who are consistently sending people to Manchester. And even, quite frankly, the toll-free number that the state has for help was sending people to Manchester that weren't from Manchester. So we have started an educational program to talk with people about the services and opportunities in their areas. And that's really important because, again, Safe Station was set up as a point in time, as an access point to help people in Manchester find the help that they need. But, you know, very soon, if we continue to see the volume of people that we do, we're seeing come into Manchester, you know, no doubt this will be overwhelming again. And so we need to make sure that the people who are coming into Manchester, who are from out of the city or out of the state, are looking first at the areas where they live in to get the help that they need. And quite honestly, I also have to mention the significant efforts that are going on with the Manchester Police Department. In fact, I was out on a ride-along this morning and saw firsthand the precision and professionalism that they showed in terms of, you know, they took a serious bad guy off the streets. You know, they found a significant amount of drugs, gun, money, and got this person. And so, you know, we're working this on both ends.
Mayor Craig, I'm here with Jeff Feingold from New Hampshire Business Review, and I think he's got a quick question for you, too.
Morning, Mayor Craig. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, we're obviously waiting for the governor's State of the State speech. I was wondering, what are the two or three things you'd like to hear him talk about that specifically would make you feel hopeful about the state, a little more hopeful about the state of Manchester, if you hear these from the governor later?
Well, funding would be great, especially when we're talking about education and addressing the opioid epidemic. We, over the years, have been handling a significant amount of money from a downshifting perspective for education, and House Bill 413, for example, would have helped significantly if the state were to have covered 15% of the cost for pension. Now the local communities are covering 100% of that, when at one point the state covered 35%. So, you know, we need some more funding help from an educational standpoint and to address the opioid crisis in our city.
So funding for schools, funding for the opioid crisis. How do you feel about the emphasis this year, Mayor Craig, at the State House on school choice, on giving money that would normally go to the public school to educate the child to the child's family so that they can make a choice?
Yeah, SB 193, the voucher bill, I absolutely agree that, and as a parent, you know, every parent should have a choice in terms of where their child goes to school. But again, when that money is coming out of the public school system, I have an issue with it.
Is it coming out of the public school system? The proponents of this would say, hey, you know, the public schools will still get some money. And by the way, they don't have to educate that child anymore.
You know, from what I've read, to a certain extent, money would be coming out of the public school system. And at a point right now where Manchester is, where we've lost students because sending towns have gone, we are in a crisis from a funding perspective. So if we're to lose $1, that really hurts.
Jeff Feingold, go ahead.
Yeah, Mayor Craig, I was going to ask you what do you think the status right now of the Medicaid expansion debate is, and how that affects Manchester in particular. Obviously, there's a number of people in the city who are benefiting from expanded Medicaid, and what are your thoughts on that, on the whole situation right now?
I hope that we can continue with expanded Medicaid. We have many, many, many people in Manchester who are utilizing that. And in fact, if that were to go away, pretty much all of the treatment that we have in our city from an opioid perspective goes away. So it would be extremely detrimental.
Last thoughts, Mayor Craig, on what you want to hear from the governor today. Again, we'll be covering this live at 10.
Collaboration is important. We worked well in terms of addressing the issue with Serenity Place. I appreciate all that he did. But I'm really hoping that we can hear some information in terms of getting additional funding into our community, specifically for education and for addressing the opioid crisis.
All right. Mayor Joyce Craig, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Joyce Craig. Again, she just recently came into office as mayor of New Hampshire's Queen City, Manchester. And throughout the hour today, we'll be hearing from several mayors from Berlin, Dover, and Franklin, along with Manchester, about how their communities are faring. We'll ask those mayors what they want to hear from Governor Sununu, who delivers his State of the State address later this morning, and we'll get them to reflect on the state of their cities. We'd love to hear from you, too, this hour. How would you describe the state of your city or town? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. You know, Jeff, we heard from several listeners before the show about the state of their cities or towns. Here's a voicemail from a resident of southwestern New Hampshire.
Hello, this is Pamela from Marlborough, and my comment is about the State of the State speech. And in this corner, because I live near Keene, we really need creative, low-cost housing, not necessarily one person to one place, but young people seem to need to hang together, so some kind of a communal kitchen or even a older parent to the house would be useful. Also, so there's the housing and desperate need for more mental health agencies and money. Thank you.
And thank you for that voicemail. And Jeff, housing, that's another issue.
Yep.
And I remember, gosh, about a couple years ago, the New Hampshire Public Policy Center did a great study on how New Hampshire's housing stock doesn't fit our demographics anymore. It's like the pair of pants that you pull on, you know, 10 years ago, and you go, ooh, these don't quite fit right.
Yeah.
So just remind us what that was about.
That's a very good description, because really what it is now, because of our changing demographics, we have, you know, we spent a long time, about 25 or 30 years in New Hampshire, building these big McMansions, as I say, in many cases they were, you know, houses that were for growing families. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have as many growing families. And
these big old houses out in the
big
suburbs.
Houses, you know, I see them all over, wherever you go, they're for sale because the owners are downsizing. They're moving to an apartment or moving to a condo, whatever. And what we have now is what we have a great need for is apartments, smaller houses, but especially apartments, rental units. And they while there are rental units in the pipeline, while they're opening up, many of them are not affordable. Many of them are restricted housing for 55 and older. It's a big issue, and it's related to education and workforce. You know, it's a whole big can of worms.
Well, we're hearing from lots of people about the state of their cities and towns and what they want to hear from the State of the State address. Here's Daniel in Stratford, who says we need to protect important natural resources for clean drinking water and surface waters, wildlife habitat, forests, farmlands, and recreation tourism. Daniel, thank you for that. Coming up, the mayors of Berlin and Franklin join us on how they see the state of our state from their city's vantage point. And our coverage of the governor's State of the State address begins at 10 o'clock this morning. So you can stay with us for all that. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
Some say love is in the air, but maybe it's time to say goodbye to your old ride. If you've been wanting to break up with your car or truck, why not donate it to NHPR? We'll turn it into the programs you love, like Morning Edition, Fresh Air, and All Things Considered. We'll even send you a $50 Visa gift card as our thanks. Breaking up is really not hard to do. Just go to nhpr.org/cardonation.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy.
I personally do not understand why the state legislature is so afraid of any kind of gas tax or toll increases.
I would say this year healthcare is worse off than previous years. That's definitely a concern. Just a change in our premiums and what that allows us to do in the rest of our lives.
Business is doing well. I think financial marketplace is doing well for people. I think the tax cut is going to help a lot of people more than many people think. I think things are good. I think things are looking forward.
New Hampshire residents reflecting on the state of our state as we get ready for the governor's address later this morning. This hour, we're hearing from several New Hampshire mayors on how their cities are doing and what they hope to hear from the governor. And let's hear from you, too. What's the state of your city or town? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Jeff Feingold is with me for the hour, longtime editor of New Hampshire Business Review. And joining us now from Berlin is Mayor Paul Grenier. Berlin has a population of about 10,500 that was often called back in the day the city that trees built. Mayor Grenier, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a real honor and pleasure.
Well, we're happy to have you. And as we get ready for the State of the State, what's the state of your city, Mayor Grenier?
The state of our city is we're treading water. We're holding our own. I think that the community is finally starting to dig out of its economic morass that we suffered with the closure of the mills back in the mid-2000s. So we're slowly peeking our head up out of the pond here, and things seem to be somewhat stable.
Treading water. Okay, so just describe that a little bit more, what that feels like and looks like in Berlin.
Well, as you know, when the mills closed, we had 1,700 employees who suddenly found themselves out of work.
Right.
And, you know, the community was already starting the long, slow decline from its peak in the 40s. So, you know, we lost a whole generation of young people because of the mills closing. So now we find ourselves somewhat older than the state average. And most of the people who live here, who work here, were born and raised here. So it's those people that have kept the community afloat while we try to reinvent ourselves economically.
What are your two or three biggest economic engines, Mayor Grenier, these days?
Well, if you look at the terms of employment levels, our largest employer is Androscoggin Valley Hospital. And then we have a new company called Capone Iron Corporation, who set up shop in Berlin. We have Burgess Biopower Plant, which is a 75-megawatt wood chip plant that opened, that started commercial operation in 2013. They represent already about 12% of the city's tax base.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that much. What's the strongest selling point, you think, Mayor Grenier, that Berlin has right now? I asked Mayor Craig in Manchester the same question. If someone was thinking about moving to your city but needed a little convincing, what would you say?
I would say it's the great outdoors. You know, I'm 62 years old, and the biggest knock about Berlin when I was young growing up was that you could smell the mill from Route 115 as you turn on to Route 2, which is about 16 miles away. And we don't have that anymore. We have a slight steam plume when the weather's cold. But other than that, there is no pollution left within the community. And that has enabled us to really develop a significantly strong motorized outdoor economy here.
And the ATV trails, yeah, that have been built, that the state has helped build.
It's incredible what that's done for the community.
How hard... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Mayor Grenier. Go
well,
ahead.
And that that has started some ancillary business, too, which helps support that our new industry.
Sure. Hotels and coffee shops and all those places to support the people who come in. We talked with Mayor Craig about the drug addiction crisis and its impact on Manchester. She told us how Manchester is trying to manage that. How hard has this epidemic hit your city?
It's been a significant issue in our community. Everyone has been affected, or every family has been affected in one manner or another.
But unlike Manchester, we have no resources. Berlin is forced to share $40,000 of opioid monies that were sent to the state with the Coos County Sheriff's Department, and that money needs to be spent within the entire county. And what happens is if somebody in Berlin starts to feel the law enforcement heat, they'll move to Groveton, they'll move to Colebrook, or they'll move to Lancaster, and we don't have any help. We're it, you know. Berlin is the only police department in Coos County that has detectives. So if you're in the drug dealing business in Berlin or in Coos County, you don't face the same pressure as you would from multiple law enforcement agencies that Manchester has.
Wow. What about the treatment infrastructure, Mayor Grenier?
Well, we have a brand new Friendship House that was built in Bethlehem that has, I believe, 60-bed treatment facility, and it's state-of-the-art. It's brand new. But, you know, in today's world, that's woefully inadequate.
Mayor Grenier, I'm here with my colleague Jeff Feingold from New Hampshire Business Review. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, listen, I just want to ask you something. You talked about reinventing Berlin economically. What do you mean by that specifically? What do you think? How can Berlin reinvent itself? You talk about all these issues that are affecting it, especially your aging
right.
population. What do you have in mind when you say that?
Well, when I first became mayor, I mean we were holding an empty basket, and things were in pretty dire shape. And the legislature had passed a bill called the Renewable Energy Portfolio, which required the state to purchase 25% of its energy generated in the state by 2025 by renewable resources. So given the fact that we had this huge 10-story boiler from the paper mill days sitting in our community not being used, we embarked on a little different strategy. Why can't we be the capital of renewable energy in the state? Today, we generate 130 megawatts of power from either burning biomass, hydro sources, and we have a 14-megawatt wind farm here in Berlin as well. So,
Mayor Grenier, speaking of energy, I wanted to ask you about the Northern Pass and the recent rejection by the Site Evaluation Committee. How are you sort of sorting through that now? It's been a little while, and I think you were pretty disappointed.
Yes, I was a big supporter of Northern Pass. I certainly understood the complaints of the opponents of the Northern Pass. But there was a lot of money being put on the table to help with economic development within Coos County. I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million between the North Country Job Creation Fund and the Ford New Hampshire Fund. And specifically, Northern Pass's part of Northern Pass's project was rebuilding part of the Coos Loop, which was built in the paper mill days, and there was a mill in Berlin and in Groveton, to help increase generation capacity. So we were contemplating a couple of other developers who were looking at putting a solar farm on one of our closed, unlined landfills from the paper mill days to generate power on an otherwise useless piece of land.
I see. So now that project is in doubt as well?
It's very much in doubt because now they would be last in the queue and they wouldn't be able to get the power out.
Wow. Well, Mayor Grenier, thank you very much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Paul Grenier. He's mayor of Berlin. Again, today in The Exchange, we're asking some New Hampshire mayors to assess the state of their cities as we wait for Governor Chris Sununu's first State of the State address. Of course, we want to hear from you. How would you judge the state of your city or town? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, exchange@nhpr.org. Another mayor is with us on the line now, Tony Junta, mayor of Franklin. And Mayor Junta, thank you for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Laura. It's my pleasure, and you did a great job pronouncing my last name.
Well, you know, I'm in radio, so I need to do that. I've heard Franklin brand itself these days as the Three Rivers City, and for people who don't know where Franklin is, it's about 20 minutes north of Concord, up I-93. What are those three rivers, Mayor Giunta, and how are they important to the economic revitalization of your city?
Well, they've been extremely important over the very beginning of the city of Franklin. And so it's the Pemigewasset River, the Winnipesaukee River, and they join the confluence right downtown, right behind our high school, and they form the mighty Merrimack, which then flows all the way down to the Atlantic Ocean. And it has been the source of power for our city since the very beginning. So a lot of people look at Franklin today and don't remember the very rich history that Franklin has had. It has really been a powerhouse when it comes to the state of New Hampshire. It's just unfortunate that those mills either moved overseas or closed down.
So the mills have moved overseas and closed down, as you said, but how is Franklin capitalizing on its position near those three rivers to revitalize today?
Well, we certainly are looking to those rivers. As they said, that was the beginning of Franklin, and it really brought us the power, and it will bring us back, as has been said. So the Winnipesaukee travels right through our downtown, and it's actually spectacular to see. And there have been two individuals who have come to our city, and they've risked just about everything, and they've said, we're going to turn Franklin around. We have a vision. You've got this incredible river going through here, and we're going to capitalize upon it. So we're looking at a revitalization of our downtown right now that I can't remember, and I've been there 20 years, and it is extremely exciting to see things turning around so rapidly in our downtown, mainly focused around the Winnipesaukee River.
How do you see then, Mayor Giunta, the state of your city right now? You sound pretty optimistic.
I am very optimistic, and even though we've had a decision from the Site Evaluation Committee that has not been very positive for our city because we were looking forward to the Northern Pass coming to our city, regardless of Northern Pass, we are still doing very well. We're turning it around without Northern Pass. And so, again, we've had people that have stepped forward. And most importantly, we've had a combination of vision between city leaders, civic leaders, and what's going on with business leaders downtown. That has all come together. Everybody's working together very, very cooperatively, more than I've ever seen in my 20 years in politics in the city of Franklin. So it is very positive times in our city, and I'm very optimistic.
How have New Hampshire's demographic shifts affected Franklin? The aging of the population, the smaller families that people have. This is a statewide issue, but I wonder how it's playing out in Franklin.
It is playing out the same way it is playing out across the rest of the state. We are growing older in the city of Franklin, and also we have lost a significant amount of students in our school system. And so it's pretty much playing out the same. But then again, there's opportunity where those things happen. We're having, I think, older folks coming to the city of Franklin, seeing the benefits, seeing the Three Rivers, seeing the opportunity for fishing and all the other things that the rivers bring with them when it comes to outdoor recreation. So we are becoming a place that I think are actually attracting a demographic, which is very positive for moving our city forward.
Well, in his State of the State address, the governor is expected to talk about New Hampshire's drug addiction crisis. And I want to ask you about that, Mayor Giunta, but read you a couple emails that have come in from folks and then get your thoughts. Here's an email from David who says, I think the mayors should have an alliance on how they're going to band together and tackle what I would call the mutual aid safe station agreements. We can't arrest our way out of this problem. David, thank you for the email. What do you think, Mayor Giunta, the idea of, you know, mayors getting together and trying to help each other out with this?
I think that is a fantastic idea. In fact, it is perfect timing. I talked to Mayor Booley a couple of weeks ago from Concord, and we said we ought to get all of the mayors at the table and start talking about these things because we're not isolated. We are all experiencing the same problems across the state. But there may be something going on in Lebanon that we don't know about. There may be something going on in Dover that we don't know about that's getting positive results. And if that's happening, we want to hear about it, Franklin. We want to be able to talk about it and implement it if it's been successful, and vice versa. And what we're seeing working for us may help Manchester or may help Berlin. So, yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. And David, you must have been standing behind us when me and Mayor Bully were talking.
Well, here's another one from Jessica on the same topic. Jessica says, I recently made the decision to move from the town I grew up in, Laconia, to another nearby town to escape the worsening drug crisis, poor secondary educational system, and declining property values. Jessica says, it made me very sad to have to do this, but I feel there was no other option. She says, not sure how to fix any of it, but I know it starts with personal responsibility and accountability, not more programs funded by taxpayers. And Jessica, thank you for the email as well. How do you think Franklin is addressing this opioid crisis so you don't lose residents like Jessica leaving Laconia?
Well, Laura, I think that we are way ahead when it comes to addressing the addiction problem. Back in 2010, the Franklin Mayor's Drug Task Force was formed. And I don't know if you know former Mayor Ken Merrifield, who's now the Commissioner of Labor.
Yes.
But Ken was a mover and shaker in starting the Mayor's Drug Task Force. He went out back in 2010 and secured a $1.25 million grant from the federal government to start addressing the addiction problem in our city. And so we have had, since 2010, civic leaders involved, hospital leaders involved, school reps involved, the police department, youth services, all doing whatever they can to address this problem. So when the governor came out a couple of years ago and said, you know, we're not doing enough to address the addiction problem, we all looked at each other and said, he's not been up here to Franklin.
Well,
and again, I think that speaks well to what you just said, of the mayors getting together, because we've had significant experience in this area, and I'm sure we'll be able to share that experience with other leaders in other communities.
Mayor Junta, I've got Jeff Feingold from New Hampshire Business Review with me, and go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Mayor Junta.
Hi, Jeff.
I've had a question to ask you about, what do you think the state could do specifically to help a city like Franklin, you know, just get it, you know, you're getting back on your feet economically, obviously, but to get it to that next level, is there anything you can see that the state might be able to do specifically to help Franklin?
Yes. They can go talk to the members of the SEC and reverse their decision.
The Site Evaluation Committee in Northern Pass.
Yeah. You know what, that is, yeah, absolutely. For us, it's extremely important. Northern Pass is very, very significant for us. And I don't want that to sound like it's just all about Franklin, and that's the only reason we care about it. It's bigger than that, Jeff. You've been following this issue, so you know how important this is for manufacturers. One in four jobs in the city of Franklin is manufacturing-based. And so manufacturers, for the last 5 years, I've been sitting around roundtables, and they've been telling me as a leadership group, if we don't do something about lowering the cost of electricity in New Hampshire, they are leaving. They're leaving. What does that mean for the city of Franklin? If we lose a Webster Valve or a Vitex or a Wyman Gordon, it's catastrophic for my city. So I don't know how the SEC doesn't understand that. And the other thing that we saw in the last 5 years when I've been talking to these leaders is they were watching Northern Pass and they were saying, this is the one pivotal issue that we've been watching to see if we're really serious about doing something about lowering the price of electricity in the state of New Hampshire. And if this fails, we have no other option but to leave.
Well, Mayor Junta, so I'm going to cut you off there. And we've definitely been covering the Northern Pass issue on NHPR, and we'll continue covering it. And it's good to hear from you. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Tony Junta, mayor of Franklin. Now, coming up, one more mayor, the mayor of Dover. And we'll keep taking your questions and comments. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jessica Hunt. I'm a producer for The Exchange. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm really excited because I am getting to put together a retrospective about Something Wild. That's another podcast on NHPR. You hear it during Morning Edition on Friday mornings. They have been doing that for 20 years, and I am delighted to be able to put together a special episode of The Exchange about Something Wild and their time on the air. But I'm coming to you because I need your help. I need to hear your memories, things that have touched you over the years about Something Wild. Here's the phone number to leave a voicemail, 603 603- 513-7797. Thanks a lot.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy.
One thing I'd like to see change is our emphasis on the opioid problem. Parents shouldn't bury their children. And I'd like to see that be addressed a little bit better.
I've lived here like 12 years, and I've noticed like the taxes are still as what they say it is. The schools are great. The neighbors where I live at is good people. It's a big difference where I live. I used to live in Massachusetts.
The voices of New Hampshire residents giving their views on the state of the state. Now, starting at 10 this morning, we'll be covering Governor Chris Sununu's first State of the State address. So stay with us for that. This hour, we're hearing from several New Hampshire mayors about their cities. And let's hear from you, too. How would you describe the state of your community? Let us know. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Jeff Feingold is with me, longtime editor of the New Hampshire Business Review. And we've heard already from the mayors of Manchester, Berlin, and Franklin. We have one more city to go to, Dover. And Karen Weston is mayor there. And Mayor Weston, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for including me in this discussion. It's a pleasure.
Well, with the state of the state coming up, Mayor Weston, how would you describe the state of your city?
Well, the state of my city is that the city of Dover was one of the fastest growing cities in the state of New Hampshire, and we continue to grow, and we have a really good team that works together to be aggressive in attracting other commercial developers to come to our city.
Yeah, some people call Dover the affordable seacoast. You got about 31,000 people. You're a little north of Portsmouth, close to the Maine border. Are you still the affordable seacoast, Mayor Weston?
I believe we are, but we have some new debt service that our city has taken on, which will affect the tax rate, and we are working diligently to be able to keep us affordable. And we are right now, again, in the middle of our budget season, and that is going to be something that I keep on reminding my city council of.
Why does your city council need reminding that it is the middle of the budget season? What do you mean by that?
Well, basically, we have built a brand new high school in the city of Dover, and that debt service is has a pretty high impact on our tax rate anyway. And so that when we come in with our budgets, it is you have to keep it affordable. The average income in the city of Dover is around $68,000, and we have to remind ourselves that if this is the median income, then you have to adjust your spending according to your revenue, and if that income is $68,000, that is kind of a guideline for us.
I see. So urging them to keep it under control so that property taxes don't go up even more so you can remain the affordable seacoast.
Absolutely.
Well, and to that effect, Mayor Weston, here's an email that came in from Mark in Portsmouth, who says, I am a native. There aren't many of us left. Our budgets have increased at twice the rate of inflation for two decades. Mark says the middle class has been driven out. Portsmouth is a wonderful place to live, but it comes at a very steep price. Are you seeing some of these folks who want to stay in the Seacoast area but can no longer afford Portsmouth coming to Dover instead, Mayor Weston?
Yes, actually, we have a lot of new residents that have come from Portsmouth, and their complaint was that Portsmouth really wasn't affordable anymore, and that is another reason why we need to have a reminder that we don't want people to leave Dover and then move up the highway. So we're trying to create a diverse housing affordability. The planning board is now going to start looking at more affordable housing and what we can do when these developers come along. And instead of building the $450,000 to $550,000 homes, which you'd have to have a medium household income of around $120,000 to be able to afford the $250,000 homes.
You know, speaking of funding, Dover has been involved in some battles in recent years over state school funding. How do you feel, Mayor Weston, today about education policy as it's being shaped at the State House?
Well, as you know, Dover was the city that took the state of New Hampshire to court over the adequacy aid funding. because they did not follow the Claremont decision, and we actually won in the Supreme Court. And so that funding line affected all communities. And for Dover, we received the $1.39 million that we won in the lawsuit. But because of mandates that came and caps that came from the state, that Dover was out over $11 million. And when you look at your education funding, $11 million could have gone a long way for our schools. And so now when we look at these fundings that I know they have SB 193 that hasn't been signed from the governor. The city of Dover, the school department, and the city council have written letters to have the governor not sign that bill because effectively people can believe in school choice, but when they remove those dollars out of our budgets, that we are left with less funding, and very often the burden will be definitely on the taxpayers.
We heard from Mayor Craig about that, too, in Manchester. She was opposed to that idea out of concern for public school funding. We've talked with other mayors, too, Mayor Weston, about the drug addiction crisis. How much has this been a problem in your city, in Dover?
Well, I can give you a few statistics. In 2016, the city of Dover had 12 overdose deaths and 59 non-fatal. And by 59 non-fatal, those were folks that had Narcan administered to them. In 2017, we had 3 overdose deaths with 4 non-fatal. And in 2018, we had 1 death with 7 non-fatal. And when we talk about these deaths and non-fatals, the numbers are really skewed because a lot of people have Narcan at their own personal use. So we need to have some help from the state of New Hampshire to have treatment facilities. Dover has some. We have SOS in downtown. We have Bonfire on Grove Street. And we also have the Triangle Club on Broadway, who we send a lot of folks to.
What do you hope to hear from the governor today, Mayor Weston, in terms of his State of the State address and how it might affect your city?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many things. I write little letters to the governor, and one of the most recent ones that I sent to him was to please do not sign Senate Bill 193. And we have a lot of downshifting from the state of New Hampshire, and I had asked for the state to go back to their contribution for the retirement systems, because when it was mandated from the state, they started to contribute 35% towards the pension and retirement. Then they reduced it in 2010, and then they repealed it in 2012. So effectively, all the cost in these retirement systems that was mandated by the states is now on the taxpayers again.
So you write letters to Governor Sununu?
Oh, yes.
Snail mail letters or emails?
Emails.
Okay. And does he respond?
Well, verbally, I've met with him and talked to him on the phone, and he understands. And so if there was anything that's really, really needed is that the state of New Hampshire needs to do a couple things. They need to support their public school systems and not take money away from them. They need to support the drug treatment centers. And they have got to stop downshifting to the cities.
So those are the big three from the mayor of Dover. Jeff Feingold is with me, Mayor Weston from New Hampshire Business Review. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Mayor Weston. I was curious. You mentioned the pension funds and the state not contributing the share that it used to. I know that the bill in the House was defeated again, and it seems like it's not going to be coming back this session. What is it that the cities especially can do to convince their own state reps in their delegations, maybe not the ones maybe outside the city, to support this? But, you know, are you talking to members of the House and Senate about how important this is to you specifically? Because I know Mayor Craig mentioned it as well, that that's a big chunk of your budget each year.
Well, we have sessions with our own legislators and speak to them on issues that are really important to us. And again, I do not believe the legislature understands the financial impact on the cities. And you can only downshift products and cost, and then all of a sudden we're going to end up, every single city and town in the state of New Hampshire are going to be in crisis mode. And when you mandate something, we need to, again, make sure that everybody contacts their legislators. Last night at my city council meeting, I told my city councilors, I said, listen, I'm asking you to do this. We have got to keep involved and be on top. And we have created a liaison to the legislature within our city of Dover who keeps us up to date with the bills that are going on. And I guess they now have a whole bunch of new bills that have to do with education and education funding and what to do with our public school systems. And we need to remind those folks that no matter what you do, is that we are mandated, as far as education goes, to provide a well-rounded education for our students.
So and there's a and there's a lot to keep track of. And I know that the school funding, boy, it's an ongoing topic, isn't it, Mayor Weston, and different philosophies about how to tackle it. And it sounds like you're keeping your liaison to the State House busy, getting your voice out there. So good for you. And I really appreciate you being with us, Mayor Weston. I know you'll be listening to the State of the State, so we'll let you go. Our coverage continues and begins at 10 o'clock this morning. So Mayor Weston, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Karen Weston. Again, she's the mayor of Dover. And Jeff Feingold, lots of folks have written in with the state of their city or town. Here's Gary. He says, we are retired seniors in Rollinsford, where the property taxes on our small home have increased 16% this year due to reassessment. The school is one cost that is barely controllable. There is really no plan for alleviating education costs in New Hampshire. When will the state come around on this problem? That seems to be what you were trying to get at with Mayor Weston, that there's been this, you know, downshifting on several levels from the state to the localities, and it continues.
Yeah, there's like a disconnect because, you know, you think about these cities and towns, they're electing state representatives who are also members of their county delegation, and they're voting on issues that affect the taxpayers of their county and also of their specific town. And it's almost as if they go into Concord and they're not realizing how this affects the people in locality when they vote on these things at the state. I've noticed this since I've been in the state, you know, for almost 40 years, and it just seems like it's just a disconnect between what their job is as a state rep as opposed to being a job as a member of the county delegation and as well as just being a resident of a town or city.
Well, it was a good question that you asked the mayor, and she replied that, yeah, there's a lot to keep track of, and sometimes the lawmakers don't seem to understand how their decisions in Concord at the State House affect that local community. So they've got somebody whose job it is to keep an eye on
that. Also downshifting is something that also the state actually suffers from when the federal government downshifts to the state, as we're seeing many issues, in many cases. Special education is one of the big ones, but also actually this infrastructure plan that the president has unveiled certainly will be a way of downshifting these costs that used to be the federal government would take, that they're saying, well, you take care of it now.
Well, so Gary talked about property taxes on his home going way up. Here's an email from Becca in Merrimack. She says, I think housing prices should be addressed. After graduating college with tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands, I'm assuming she's saying in debt, people like me in their 20s and 30s struggle to find good paying jobs that would allow them to afford decent, affordable housing in the state. Buying a house, Becca says, is out of the question in the foreseeable future. Becca says, I went 2 years out of college looking for a full-time job that might allow me to afford to move out of my parents' house. Rent being so high, I was trapped. So there's Becca saying, please address the price of housing.
Exactly.
Here in the state.
That is a big issue, especially in terms of the efforts that the state has, ongoing efforts to try to convince young people to stay in the state and move into the state. If we can't get affordable housing, if we can't offer affordable housing, it's just a non-starter. Your population will continue to age because people are going to find their opportunities elsewhere.
Well, Governor Sununu had the whole Millennial Council,
yes.
And I'm sure this is one of the issues that they brought
up. Oh, absolutely. Him. Absolutely. That's a major issue for them. And it'll be interesting to see what he mentions, if he does mention anything about the state of housing and the workforce in his upcoming speech.
Well, here's another email. This is from Neil in Durham, who says environmental concerns should be on the list of criteria that are used to address the state of the state and cities. Neil says, what is the government doing to address climate change and sustainability? Reducing carbon footprint in government buildings and fleets of vehicles, increasing percentage of recyclable materials collected, and reducing tonnage of landfill waste collected, which would create budgetary savings in public works departments. Neil says, incentivize, guide, and encourage the business and industry community to reduce their footprint and practice good environmental practices. Neil says, what steps are being taken to protect natural resources, open space, water quality, air quality? This translates into health and health care. Neil, thank you. And this is an issue that Governor Sununu has talked about, including wanting to reduce regulations to for wetlands and so forth. He had some comments about that just yesterday.
Yeah, actually, they're setting up a like kind of a road tour around the state to try to reduce wetlands regulations and how that would affect the regulations in the end. Obviously, they're going to try to reduce them, and that will affect what's defined as a wetland, and what kind of mitigation a developer might have to do to build. But the other thing is that when you think about it, this is another case where, in the end, it is localities that are bearing the cost of these things because the state does not actually. They're basically coming up with these rules, and the localities have to deal with it in terms of allowing housing and building housing and other developments. And it's a really fascinating to watch how it starts with the federal government, down to the state, down to the county, down to the local. And that's just the story of New Hampshire.
Jeff, it's been really good to talk to you. Thank you very much for helping us out. I know you got to go to the State House and watch the State of the State. So
yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much. That's Jeff Feingold. Again, he's longtime editor of New Hampshire Business Review. And stay right here, because coming up after the newscast, our coverage of the governor's State of the State address will begin. You can listen, as always, and you can watch on Facebook Live. So go to NHPR's Facebook page if you'd like to watch our coverage on Facebook Live. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Jessica Hunt and Christina Phillips. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Canoe.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.